The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're doing a lot of cool things despite the censorship. And one of the things that we're doing here at the War Room, my editors are doing, we're putting out a new recap of every episode of the War Room. Now, it's 5 minutes long. We don't have the full time to air it here, but we'll give you a little snippet. You can see this at Infowars.com/War Room. That's the official page on Infowars.com. Or band.video. If you go to the War Room page there, we have a playlist that we're going to put all of the recaps on. You know, since we're banned on YouTube and all the other platforms, we had to create our own. So band.video, War Room page, 5 minute recap. Here is just a taste of what you can expect every day. For him to go to the UN and stand there and look them in the eye and say globalism is dead, that's him essentially walking up to the top of a temple of Molech and throwing over the statue of the owl, saying the owl's dead.
Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots. We are also revitalizing our alliances by making it very clear that all of our partners are expected to pay their fair share of the tremendous defense burden which the United States has borne in the past. The United States lost 60,000 factories after China entered the WTO. Already, as a result of these tariffs, supply chains are relocating back to America and to other nations, and billions of dollars are being paid to our treasury. As long as Iran's menacing behavior continues, sanctions will not be lifted. They will be tightened. We will continue to work with our coalition of Afghan partners to stamp out terrorism, and we will never stop working to make peace a reality. Today, I have a message for those open border activists who cloak themselves in the rhetoric of social justice. Your policies are not just. Your policies are cruel and evil. We will rediscover old truths, unravel old mysteries, and make thrilling new breakthroughs. And we will find more beautiful friendship and more harmony among nations than ever before.
And literally, what's it about? Ukrainians dealing with Biden. Biden using his political influence to remove a Ukrainian for office, stop an investigation into his son, put his son on the board of a major oil company, get his son upwards of $40 million. Biden then brags about it. Obama says on a hot mic, hey, once I get reelected, I'll really open up the doors to Russia. But that all gets ignored. Whistleblower contact, Ukrainian phone call. This is Russian collusion part two. This is a second coup attempt against the president. So he goes on CNN as a former intelligence officer and says, why are we showing them our playbook? Why are we admitting we do spy on the president? Why are we admitting that we do have deep state operatives inside of these intel agencies? And why are we taking or attempting to take the mask off of them?
A republic, if you can keep it.
Yeah, you're our the ones tearing down the borders. Like, what the hell, man? You're the one saying tear down the Electoral College.
Enshrined in three.
You're the ones calling to take the guns. You're the ones censoring free speech. This is incredible. They can't have us on the internet, folks. This is why. They're running a coup. They're running another fake news coup. They're committing treason in broad daylight, and they're censoring everyone and anyone that will call it out.
Is above the law.
I'm not going to be dominated by these
enough
people, man.
Enough is enough. And today,
we're going to impeach the president. All right, great job by the editors here. That's just a small taste. Very well done. You know, it's funny. It's just the amount of information we put out here in a three-hour broadcast. I bet you didn't even. The editor's probably going through all this like, oh my gosh, how do I get this down to 5 minutes? But he did it. And that's at band.video and Infowars.com/war room.
Yeah.
since I... Woo! All right. I'm on information overload right now. Just trying to get through all of this news on this Wednesday, September 25th. I am in contact with, let's just say, one Rolling Stone, who is just being screwed over seven ways to Sunday right now. A totally innocent man. It's just unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I prayed for Roger Stone this morning. But, man, the devil just really, really wants to bring Roger down. Roger won't have it. He's remaining strong, but my goodness. That's all I can say on that front. The big news that we have today, you know, since they gagged Roger Stone, he's not allowed to talk. The big news that we have today, we here at InfoWars are finally fighting back against the demons in the media over at the Young Turks, which is sad, you know, that we have to do this, quite frankly. And while it is a relief, and I'm excited to have Robert Barnes in studio here in just a minute to break this all down, while it is a relief, I got to say, it's kind of like, you know, I'll go ahead and put this on air now. I haven't said this yet, but I'll use it as an analogy. There is a sense of relief when justice is done, specifically when you're involved. And this isn't even justice being done yet. This is just finally maybe some hopes at some justice with all these fake news agencies lying about InfoWars, lying about Alex Jones, defaming us, torturous interference, the censorship, all of it. So it's a relief when you see some action. It's a relief when Robert Barnes is going to be behind it. But the analogy that I was going to make is, it's like I've been trying to get somebody arrested for assaulting me for a month now. And it's been a pain in my ass. No, this isn't the jock grabber that we already got arrested and convicted. No, this is another one that I've never even talked about on air, because I figured by now the assault arrest would be made. Still hasn't been done. But there'll be a sense of relief that comes over me when it's finally done, won't there? Oh, you know it. There'll be a sense of relief when we can finally get the liars, who we'll name by name, in court that are involved in the upcoming litigation that Robert Barnes from Barnes Law is taking for InfoWars with all the attacks against us and Alex Jones. So we're going to have that with Bob Barnes in studio coming up in the next segment. I was saying this to the crew before I came on air, and I don't even know how to explain it, because I don't want to sound arrogant, because I try to be humble. I mean, you know, I guess to talk to yourself for 3 hours a day, you have to have some ego. Obviously, I'm not going to deny that. But it's almost like InfoWars has reached a point where we're so ahead of the curve, we're so cutting edge. It's honestly like Michael Jordan being sick of winning in the NBA because it's just too easy, so he tries to play baseball. Because that's really what it's like at this point. When everyone is chasing InfoWars' tail after a 24-hour news cycle, and I've been witnessing this for a while, just from my news aggregation and everything, but it is reaching it's beyond the pale now, folks. You can't tune in to any news these days without it sounding like InfoWars would tell you. What am I talking about? Well, you've got CNN and others that are just living a complete lie, attacking reality every day they're on air. Then you go to the average conservative popular talk program, like, say, a Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage, Ann Coulter, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson. I mean, these are really the leading edge for mainstream conservative news. And they all talk about the same stuff. The treason, the coup, how this is part two, Russian collusion. Everything that InfoWars reported first. And it's just the funniest thing to be sitting here watching this happen day after day after day. And they'll never, ever give InfoWars any credit. They'll never give Alex Jones any credit. They'll never give any of our hosts, of our reporters, any credit. And that's why it's like revolutionary. It's like, oh my gosh, Daily Caller picked up a Millie video? Like, whoa. Like somebody's actually giving us some credence finally? Unbelievable. But it's really reached that point, and it's almost surreal. It really is almost surreal. I don't even know how to put words to it, quite frankly. We're going to go through all of it, though. I mean, just look at Epstein and everything that's coming out with Epstein. Look at Ilhan Omar. Look at Republicans now in the Senate, stopping the wall from getting built. Look at Fox News host saying, yeah, Trump's guilty. Look at the coup part two, which is the whistleblower complaint. This is the coup part two. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I didn't say yesterday, but it ties into what I was talking about. And again, this is like, it's all over today. Like, you tune into the news last night, they're all saying it. You tune into the news today, they're all saying it. It looks like, as I said yesterday, the Democrats jumped the shark on this, and they did not have all their ducks in a row. What was the analogy I was using? They broke the huddle without all the players in there, and then they snapped the ball, and they weren't on the same page, and they threw an interception. Looks like it might go for a pick six. Looks like this could be taken to the other end zone and spiked. We'll see if it ends up being that way. And now that's all you see everywhere. But imagine this. Because there does seem to be some confusion right now. Who is the Washington Post source? Some people want this source to go public. Some people want this source to be questioned behind closed doors. A lot of mystery there. The source basically retracts the original claim, or the New York Times retracts the original claim by the source. Now, I'm not saying I know this. I'm saying it could be an explanation. If it was John Bolton, and Bolton, after being fired by the president, they say resigned. He was fired. Didn't like that, and so he decided to become a source, an anonymous source for the Washington Post, and to make this up. Now, Bolton, in his fury, if this is the case, did it by his own accord. And unlike the usual propaganda coup attempts that the Democrats engage in, they didn't have time to get their ducks in a row. So Adam Schiff and all these people, for the whistleblower to come testify before the committee, there was no communication. There was no organization. Now they're not sure what they want to do with that. It's all blown back on Biden, too. And now this is probably going to be used to take Biden out of the race, quite frankly. Again, like I said first at Infowars.com, if this is a legit race in the Democrat Party, Biden won't survive Ukrainian collusion. This could be the moment where it comes to the surface. And then you wonder, was this not a Democrat attempt to not just engage in a second coup against the president to start this impeachment inquiry, which they've gone ahead and done? Maybe they also figure, let's go with the Ukraine angle so we can get Biden off the stage. Because we've been saying for a while now that Biden is going to end up being a sacrificial lamb of this Democrat campaign for president. So we're going to talk about that and much more with Robert Barnes coming up. But folks, again, I'm not sure how much longer these specials are going to be lasting, but Veso Beat, brand new at InfoWarsStore.com, Veso Beat, brand new, InfoWarsStore.com, 50% off right now. I told you I'm very excited for Veso Beat. I finally actually got my hands on mine today. I didn't have it yesterday, so unfortunately, I was unable to use it before going to the gym, but I've been taking Beat supplements for a while. I like using them as a pre-workout with the nitric oxide natural boosters from Beats. It helps blood flow, which helps get vitamins and nutrients and proteins to your muscles. And so Veso Beat Complete is the newest product at InfoWarsStore.com. We just launched it. I'm excited to switch to Veso Beat from my old Beat supplement. It's 50% off. Free shipping right now at InfoWarsStore.com, ladies and gentlemen. Free shipping as well.
War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
didn't know this was Robert Barnes theme music. Since when? Hey, the circus is in town, actually.
Yeah. It will be fully in town in a few months, or a few weeks.
How about that? So the circus is in town here in Austin. That's actually a real thing. I saw the tent today. But Bob Barnes is going to be the ringleader, I guess you could say, of the legal circus that we have to deal with here at InfoWars. And, you know, you're taking the chair and you're about to stick it right into the lion's face with this latest litigation. I know the audience is going to be excited to hear about this. And it's going to be an uphill battle. And it's going to be a marathon. I know that as well. I'm sure that you and your team are ready for that. But the story is at InfoWars.com. Alex Jones fights back, sues Young Turks for libel. And, of course, I have the case right here in front of me. Right over here. Don't worry about it. Just literally getting hot coffee delivered while on air. All right. So, Robert Barnes, talk about what is in this lawsuit, Alex Jones versus Brianna Wu, Andrew Kimmel, and the Young Turks, where you think this is going to go, and what this means moving forward in our fight against the lies, the slander, the libel, and the fake news.
The focus of the suit is on the Young Turks. So the Young Turks is a sort of a Google-supported and YouTube-supported activity in the sense that they recommend recommend Young Turks videos, that they have not been demonetized in the same way that Steven Crowder and others have. They have not been banned and censored in the way InfoWars has. So they're a big tech-backed, effectively political, partisan media organization disguised as a journalistic activity. And so they've been engaged in a political warfare against their political adversaries, often resorting to libel and lies, defamation to destroy their reputations and careers. And in this particular context, what the Young Turks did, as outlined in the suit, is they made materially false statements about Alex Jones that they knew and had every reason to know were materially false at the time they made them. And even though multiple and myriad requests were made for them to retract those statements, to delete those headlines from various videos, videos that they had subsequently deleted or removed from public view because they knew the falsity of the information relayed in those videos, they refused. They refused to, and those video titles are still being recommended. If you do like a CBS News search for Alex Jones on YouTube, under the recommended video search, often will pop up the false headline from the Young Turks that falsely accused Alex Jones of things he had absolutely nothing to do with, accusing him of an infamous federal felony that they knew he was innocent of. They knew that, in fact, he had been the victim of cyber criminals targeting InfoWars and targeting Alex Jones. So because they have refused to correct, refused to remedy, legal action is necessary to force them to issue the requisite corrections and retractions, to issue a meaningful correction to their audience, to admit that what they did was false and untrue, and stop this campaign of lies and libels against their political adversaries simply because they disagree with their ideological point of view.
So this is something that's probably a long time coming, and I know that there's a few other similar cases happening right now when it comes to, I mean, not just the Young Turks per se, but, you know, the New York Times. I know with the Covington Catholic case, there's some other people in the legal crosshairs there. Do you think there is a new legal wind blowing right now? Do you think finally some of these people that have been getting away with such malicious and false attacks, and was it the censorship that kind of pushed, you know, or was a straw that broke the camel's back for some action to take place here? Because, I mean, they're basically strangling InfoWars financially. We can't expand. We can't market. We're not allowed on the big tech platforms like these other people are. So is this kind of, just a new legal wind blowing here where it's like, all right, fine, if we're going to get censored and banned and not be allowed to compete, we're going to start going after those legally who are lying about us, attacking us, and getting backed by the big tech companies that are trying to strangle us.
There is this effort between big tech and big media that are colluding together to try to control what information people have access to, what news and views they're allowed to hear and see. And so the effect of that is, as part of that, they're using libel campaigns and their superior platform access and the power of their platforms to falsify information about those they dislike politically. With this was most evident and manifest in the Covington case, but it is evident across the board. So Alex has usually avoided filing suit because he supports a vibrant free press, an independent free press, an independent free speech. But it got to the point where they're trying to suppress free press and censor free press through libel campaigns and defamation campaigns and lawfare campaigns. To date, the left has had a de facto effective monopoly on how the legal system operates and access to legal remedy and legal reform. Because the lawyers are generally on the left, the legal organizations that are provide legal support, so like the Southern Poverty Law Center, like the ACLU, like a wide range of other organizations, disproportionately support and disparately support only leftist causes and ideas and individuals, no longer are equal opportunity representatives across the ideological spectrum, regardless of the political partisan view of a person, instead advocating for speech and press. They're no longer doing that. And instead, in fact, are often enabling this degree of corruption and collusion between big media and big tech to undermine a true independent free press and free speech in the country by suppressing, censoring, or supporting the suppression or censorship of dissident independent views amongst the truly independent free press in the country. And so the reason to seek this legal reform is twofold. One is to fight back at some level, because an independent free press depends on the success of InfoWars, the biggest, broadest support and enabler of free independent free press in the country, the most substantial independent free press in the country, not corporate controlled, not donor controlled, not advertiser controlled, not politically controlled, truly independent, run, determined, and dictated by the audience's support of InfoWars. That's what makes it real. That's what makes it viable. That's what allows the free press to live in this vibrant environment at InfoWars in a way that the founders intended, but has often not been found or reflected in the recent political media history of the United States. So this lawsuit is meant to enable and empower that. It's the reason why we started Free America Law Center. So people can go to freeamericalawcenter.com to get more and additional information. The point of it was to create an independent support organization that can cover the legal costs. So the legal fees, I'm fronting my own legal fees. This isn't to reimburse my cost of that kind. Simply court costs, local counsel costs, costs of various deposition costs, administrative costs, which lawsuits can get very expensive very quickly.
Well, but let's be clear here, because you started the Free America Law Center. I mean, I won't say in a direct, you know, response to the ACLU, but it's in that same vein.
Right.
Like, hey, let's have a law center for patriots, for yes. sovereign citizens, instead of this left-wing propaganda that the ACLU has become. So it's not just when you get involved with Free America Law Center, it's not just like you're putting out stuff like an ACLU might put out an email chain. Right. They're getting access to stuff that you're doing, and they're literally funding stuff like this suit that we're filing against the Young Turks.
Exactly. The goal is to create a counterpart to the Southern Poverty Law Center, a counterpart to the ACLU, an antidote to the ACLU, to provide independent access and to democratize access to the legal system for people across the political spectrum, but particularly those on the independent political right and on the independent side of the political equation that are not being adequately represented in issues involving deplatforming, defamation, and whistleblowers against the deep state. And so the idea is I put together the lawyers, the legal team, the investigative team, the media team that Free America Law Center will support that are willing to donate or advance their own legal time to advance these causes. And we wanted to create an organization that could last, that could be sustaining, self-sustaining over time in the same way the InfoWars model is. So the goal is to use the organization for very small, affordable, accessible subscriptions, $17.76 a month. And the goal is to get people involved to participate, and we provide free book self-education.
All right, we'll have more on that on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Donald J. Trump is president of the United States.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Bob Barnes is in studio with me. We're talking about the Free America Law Center. We're talking about the fact that InfoWars is fighting back, announcing a lawsuit against the Young Turks and others. And, you know, I kind of wanted to tie this in with another issue that we see going on because, again, you launched the Free America Law Center as the antidote to the SPLC, to the ACLU, where you see a story like this. U.S. Senate votes to terminate Trump's national emergency over the border again. So basically, this is just them stopping the funding of the wall. And guys, actually, if you could find the official, the names from the official in this story, I forget the Twitter account. It's like the Senate, official Senate Twitter account. It has the names of the Republicans that voted this down. So, and I don't really know where this goes from here, Bob, but it's like when the ACLU sues and does all this garbage to stop the wall from getting built, you know, you would hope down the road, if Free America Law Center gets big enough, you would hope down the road where you can come into play and be relevant and say, oh, what is this judge? I've forgotten his name, probably a good thing. A judge from the UK. How is he more powerful than the president? And he can say that you can't build a wall, you can't have a southern border. I mean, is that where you kind of hope something like this goes? And is there even a legal option there to say, hey, how is this judge overruling the president?
I mean, you have within the judiciary a general establishment bias, a general liberal cultural preference amongst many jurists, in part reflecting the Obama administration's ability to get a lot of judges appointed. And it just reflects sort of their political proclivities. Also, the lawyer class as a whole leans to the left. I mean, the reason why the left has such an institutional advantage is in part because of their cultural domination through educational institutions of the professional class that you see across the board on a range of cultural and social and sometimes economic issues. In addition to that, the members of the left will support legal organizations merely to support them. We created Free America Law Center, so it provides additional benefits, podcasts, free digital books that provide self-education on a Bill of Rights book series, all kinds of other ancillary benefits for the very small price of $17.76 a month to try to make this a reality, largely because those on the political right have not supported legal organizations like the left has. It gives the left an edge. They have almost a near monopoly amongst lawyers in their cultural, social, political viewpoints, and they have a near monopoly on ordinary, everyday donors who give simply to give to the left to see the left's cause propagated in the legal system. So if you're a judge, what you see is you see a lot of the left bringing cases to you and not a lot of people on the cultural right or independent people bringing cases to you. So your natural proclivity is to presume that there's a problem that the left is exposing that's systematic and real and substantive.
Or it's a false assumption by a judge or somebody to say, oh, this must be the majority. The majority of people don't want a southern border. No, the majority of people do. They're just not represented in the legal world.
Exactly. And judges are often very isolated, in part on purpose, in part just by the nature of their job and their occupation. And so they're not out there in the social media world. They're not out there in the news media world. They usually work very long hours and very long time periods. So they see what the cases are before them mostly. And if they keep seeing cases that come from a particular political aisle, they will assume that that reflects public opinion, not realizing or recognizing often that it doesn't, that these are people that are pushing a political agenda against popular opinion, not in combination with public opinion. So that's what Free America Law Center is about. We need to counterbalance this. We need to have an independent organization that supports everybody across the ideological political spectrum that isn't simply politically owned by the left and isn't politically owned by big donors.
Well, and we've got so much ground to gain, too. I mean, imagine on a seesaw, it's like having Michael Moore on one side and then, you know, Buttigieg on the other or something. If you want a physical analogy for a little visual representation, that's basically what you're trying to do. But let's bring it back to the lawsuit here where the Young Turks are going to be the focus of this. I mean, what precedent could potentially be set here? Because like you said, our inclination is to always go with free speech. People attack Alex Jones 24/7. You know, I've been attacked falsely in the news dozens of times now, too. It comes with the territory of working here. We're not litigious. We don't want to deal with it. We deal with enough incoming frivolous lawsuits that, you know, sending out lawsuits that who knows how successful they could be is not something we've ever chose to really embark upon. But I mean, what kind of doors could potentially be open here? Because I mean, how many examples of fake news could you pull up about Alex Jones and InfoWars, right? I mean, you could go all day long. I mean, is this the type of case where, you know, you open it up, you're successful, and then maybe that opens up other doorways? Or what are you thinking from a legal perspective, just heading into the beginning stages of this?
The goal is to deter this campaign of lies and libel where people got to the point in parts of the institutional establishment media to where they felt they could tell any lie and any libel about Alex Jones, no matter how crazy or insane and knowingly false it was, no matter how inflammatory it was, no matter how horrendous it was. I mean, these are some of the worst lies that could ever be told about a human being. And they've been told repeatedly and routinely by members of the press that call themselves leading journalists, independent journalists, objective journalists, fact-driven journalists. They're saying they're not spreading any kind of fake news or partisan news or political news. And here they are spreading horrendous lies that they know are horrendous lies, that they had every reason to know were horrendous lies, that they were told were horrendous lies, that they took certain actions that showed they knew they were horrendous lies, and yet refused to issue basic corrections or basic deletions. So the behavior was so extreme, so beyond the pale, so without limit or restraint or restriction, that somebody needed to start the fight back. Just as the Covington kids had to bring the fight back to the media giants and media individuals and prominent political personalities, including Elizabeth Warren, the leading Democratic candidate for the presidency, according to political betting markets right now, they're willing to be the front of that, despite the attacks that they have suffered and undergone because of this case and because of what took place to them. And Alex Jones is willing to be the same. He's willing to be the face of independent free press in America to stop institutional media, establishment media, big tech-backed media, big tech-supported media from being able to destroy an independent free press in this country. Because if he doesn't do it, nobody will do it, and we will no longer have an independent free press in this country.
And just, I mean, folks, just we need your support in this. You know, whether you're supporting the Free America Law Center, whether you're buying all the supplements at InfoWarsStore.com, I cannot stress this enough, folks. And again, we're not spending millions of dollars for me to sit in this studio in a suit and tie. I don't have a $1 million contract. Robert Barnes isn't making millions of dollars off of this. He's doing this for the base cost. Alex Jones probably hasn't even cut himself a check in multiple years. And so you got to understand, I mean, we're already maxed out around here. And for us to embark on this litigation is not cheap. And it's, you know, it is expansive in a way for us. It is expansive in a way for us. So let me just put a kind of a bow on this before we move on to another topic in the next segment. Do you think, odds making, because, I mean, I would say between us, I don't think there's anyone better, quite frankly, because we called it first that Elizabeth Warren would be leading the Democrat Party after the last debate. Do you think, though, this lawsuit, even if you are successful, do you think this lawsuit will stop people from lying about Alex Jones? Because I think it'll stop the people like, just from the top of my head, like a Steve Hilton, who goes on Fox News and talks trash on Alex Jones and InfoWars, because it's comfortable to do that. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't know anything we do around here, but hey, InfoWars, low-hanging fruit, we'll attack them, we'll attack Alex Jones, makes me feel good about myself. Do you think it'll stop people like that, who just like to attack Alex Jones because it's fun? Or do you really think people like the Young Turks and other people will stop lying about Alex Jones and InfoWars?
And the goal is not only just to get them to stop lying about Alex Jones and InfoWars, it's to get them to remove from their toolbox the power of their platforms to lie and libel their political adversaries. Not only the Alex Joneses of the world, but all the little Alex Joneses of the world. All the ordinary, everyday, independent.
Yeah, like all the Proud Boys and stuff like that.
Oh, I mean, and the recent attacks on the guy that was just raising money for charity. So, I mean, they're using it as a technique, as a tactic, as a tool. We want to remove that tool from their toolbox or they suffer the legal consequences of misusing and abusing it.
I forget what it was. It just, someone came to me and they were like, hey, why didn't you do something on Facebook? Like, they're mad at me. And I'm like, dude, I'm banned from Facebook. They're like, why haven't you liked this or joined this group? I'm like, I'm not on Facebook, man. They banned me. Like, I can't even get on there. We don't even have access.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Welcome back to the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Robert Barnes in the studio with us. I'm going to try to get Bob's take on as much as possible here in the next 10 minutes. So I'm not even going to talk anymore. We were just talking about this. We're going to get to a couple things. Manhattan District Attorney won't get Trump tax returns for now as federal judge delays subpoena. And we were saying, man, this is unprecedented. This is obviously a political hit job. There's never been anything like it. Imagine if Republicans decided to do this and aimed it at Obama or Pelosi or Feinstein, what they would find. But legally, what are we looking at for this unprecedented subpoena of Trump's tax returns? Do you think they'll get it?
There's two different components to this. First is, under federal law, your tax returns are private. And the reason for that is there was long-stead concerns that having what we call a self-assessment system in the U.S. tax law. So I do a lot of tax representation, wide range of contexts, civil cases, criminal cases, you name it. I brought the biggest civil rights case, Bivens case, against the IRS in American history. So the point and purpose of the privacy of the tax laws is not only to recognize the constitutional right to privacy and the statutory right to privacy under Section 6103 of Title 26 of the United States Code, but it's also intended to produce full compliance and full transparency with people filing returns. Because people's concerns were, I disclose all this information about myself. I disclose what church I go to. I disclose what schools I associate with. I disclose what charities I give money to. I disclose what religion I am. I disclose what my family relationships are. I disclose what my personal relationships are, all in my tax return. That is very private information that I don't want the whole world to have equal and easy access to. And the government's promise was, don't worry, these tax returns information will only be used for tax purposes. It will never be used for any other ulterior political partisan agenda. Yet that is precisely what the New York prosecutor is doing. This is unprecedented. There's no known history of any state prosecutor trying to use the power of his office to go after the federal tax returns of the elected president of the United States of America. Never seen it, never witnessed it. It completely undermines and guts the point and purpose of the privacy protections of federal tax returns, both under the statutes and under the Constitution.
So you don't think they'll get the tax returns?
They shouldn't. Now, the hard part is you have a politically motivated, very liberal prosecutor bringing a case in a very liberal jurisdiction.
And they have this whole thing, too, where they justify it. It's like, oh, yeah, Trump, you know, stole the election and everything. Oh, now he's a Ukrainian asset. So they build this whole thing up.
And they're asking for tax returns that have nothing to do with the election year.
No, no.
7 years, 8 years, 10 years back. It's clearly a scam.
It's just to make headlines. Absolutely. They know they probably won't even get it. But, hey, they'll make the headlines in the process. All right, let's get into the second coup now. We had the Russian collusion coup. Now it's the Ukraine coup with the whistleblower contact. What do you think is behind this? I mean, there's so many different angles. I could see this being Bolton trying to get even and obviously just in a rage of fury puts this out to the Washington Post. Democrats don't have time to really get in the huddle and, you know, war game it out, decide what they're going to do with the football. And so just all hell breaks loose. They're calling for impeachment inquiries. They're calling for the whistleblower to come forward. They want the whole thing released. Trump releases the transcript. It's all crazy. Now it brings up the Biden angle. So it looks like Biden's going to be taken down because of this. Was this not a Democrat operation to say, hey, not only are we going to start this impeachment inquiry, we're also going to remove Biden from the election process here as well? So just what is your take on the treasonous coup against Donald Trump part two with the whistleblower complaint, Ukraine story happening?
So what you really have is the Ukraine-U.S. relationship under the new president Zelensky, who was a comedian, a social media figure, who was the first true reformer elected a Ukrainian president in Ukraine's contemporary history. Someone who was not backed by the neo-Nazis that dominate Western Ukraine, far Western Ukraine.
Who work with the Bidens, by the way.
Oh, exactly. Or the Russian oligarchs who dominate politically in the Russian-oriented populations of far Eastern Ukraine. So you have this newly elected president who wants real reform, institutional reform of his own country. Wants an energy independent Ukraine, which he talks about. He wants a politically independent Ukraine. He doesn't want to be used as a proxy between the European Union and Russia, nor to be infiltrated and interfered with by the deep state political actors who have been aligned with the Democratic Party establishment. And so what he was filtering out was, is Trump for real? This was the first real meaningful, detailed conversation.
Well, right. And you were saying in the transcript, it's all coming out how it's like, you know, the Ukrainian president is like, hey, I really want to drain the swamp. I really want to clean it up. I really want to do this. Help me do this. Can you give me intel?
This wasn't President Trump putting any degree of pressure on Zelensky, the president of Ukraine. This was Zelensky filtering out whether Trump was for real. He's like, look, you know, the bottom line is this implicates Obama administration, but it impacts important, influential individuals in the United States.
Wait, the scandal-free president?
Oh, exactly.
Scandal-free.
Scandal-free Obama. That's why Trump says the Ukrainian ambassador brings it up. He's the first one to talk about Giuliani. He says, I want Giuliani to come over here.
Giuliani to come over.
Yes.
He requests intel from the president.
Exactly.
The president's just kind of going along saying, hey, you know, we're going to clean it up here.
Yep.
You know, you want to clean it up.
And throughout, what Zelensky's doing is he's eliciting and soliciting Trump's response and reaction. He's like, is Trump sincere or is Trump also afraid of the deep state? Putin once described American presidents as, he said, yeah, they get elected. Maybe they mean well. I think a lot of them do. But ultimately, the men in gray run that country. So Ukraine sort of reflects part of that mentality. So you have this Zelensky saying, are you for real or do the men in gray still run the U.S.? And so he's triggering certain areas of inquiry. Do you know about the corruption of Biden? Do you know about the corruption of the former ambassador who was involved with the neo-Nazis? Do you know about the various coup efforts that took place here? Are you going to help and facilitate meaningful reform in Ukraine to help America? And so it's on his instigation and initiation that Trump responds and reacts and says, yes, I understand. I understand the former ambassador was a bad person. I understand she was connected to bad people. I understand that Biden was involved, has publicly bragged about how he manipulated your process.
So that's what blows my mind. I'm so glad you said that. This is almost a test, again, for the consciousness of the American people where, I mean, beyond Obama's scandal-free president, I mean, okay, that's one thing. But for Biden to say, there's no evidence, there's nothing here, and for the Democrats to launch an impeachment inquiry over what Biden did into Trump, but it's all on record, I mean, I really don't even know how to parse this out. I mean, it's like, it's pouring outside, we're both standing in the pouring rain, and then you open up an umbrella, and you're dry, and you say, hey, come under this umbrella, it makes you dry, and I'm like, I'm dry.
Yeah.
You're soaking wet. You're getting rained on. I'm the dry one as I'm just dripping wet from the rain.
Well, Ukraine opens the door to the deep state collusion with the Democratic Party establishment using foreign governments and foreign nations to launder illicit investigations and information and for the self-enrichment, self-empowerment of the deep state and the Democratic political establishment. So if this moves forward between Zelensky and Trump, they could be badly exposed. So it was a collusion effort between the deep state and the Democratic political establishment to illicitly leak this information, to disguise it as a whistleblower information when it's really deep state illicitly investigating and spying on the president continuously, trying to undermine his public policy. They need this investigation to not go forward. So they need to accuse the president, Trump, of doing what they were doing.
Do you agree, though, that they snapped the football or they broke the huddle and they didn't have a full 11-man line? Like, they jumped the shark on this. They didn't have their ducks in a row. This is not good execution.
It was pure fear. So their reaction was, we cannot allow this to go forward. We have to do everything we can to derail this immediately. We need to retry and reboot Russiagate Part 2 and make this enough of a storm and enough of a stink that Trump feels intimidated or coerced into not meaningfully cooperating with Ukrainian government to uncover deep state democratic corruption in Ukraine.
Yeah, how dare Trump try to clean up the scandal-free Obama administration? What a joke that is. Real quick, let's try to get two things in the last 2 minutes. Tulsi Gabbard qualifies for the fourth debate. I'm a little suspicious of this. I don't think the Democrats would let her on that stage unless they had something up their sleeve. What are your thoughts?
They wanted to limit her as much as possible, but the terms of they got a lot of heat for excluding her from the third debate. The ratings continue to stink for the Democratic debates. Mm. They're trending at about half the rate of the Republican debates in 2016. That is not a good sign for their future efforts and endeavors. So I think that they felt some political pressure to put her on. They'll continue to try to limit her as much as possible, restrict her as much as possible.
So she won't get much speaking time, you think?
Oh, I think that she'll still be the one that gets targeted for hostile questions, the only one so far of all the Democratic candidates in five consecutive debates.
Yeah, they'll say, like, why don't you stab a voodoo doll of Trump every night before you go to bed? And she'll be like, what? All right, final thing. I wanted to have a laugh with you before you got out. All right, guys, give me a doc cam. All right, you call an Uber, and this guy pulls up to pick you up and give you an Uber ride. What's the first thing you say? It's Beto O'Rourke, by the way, smiling creepily.
Yeah, that dude is a creepy guy.
That guy picks you up in an Uber. He turns around with that psycho-looking face. What do you do?
Hop out and then wait for the next Uber.
sorry, guy. I'm going to take a Lyft.
Yeah, exactly. I mean anything. Maybe ask him, hey, is it okay if I bring my AR-15 with me? Is that okay if I leave?
Yeah, hey, do you mind? I'm executing my Second Amendment ride. Is that okay?
Yeah, exactly.
The funny thing is, I don't know if this is real or not. I don't know if he actually was driving an Uber. He probably would to try to convince you he's human with that weird alien creepy look on your face like he's about to eat a child or something. But I didn't think that drunk drivers, hit-and-run drivers could drive Uber.
Yeah, I mean, I think Uber discourages it, that's for sure.
Unless you're Beto.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was a stunt or not, but there you go. Yeah, if Beto O'Rourke ever picks you up in an Uber, probably just get right out.
Yeah.
Just run for the hills.
Still can't.
Yeah, run for the hills, get for cover real quick.
You don't want him to
hide your kids, hide your wife.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Troyer at Infowars.com/show.
Trump is holding a news conference right now as the closing days of the UN General Assembly in New York City is happening. I was thinking about going live to that, but let's go to these clips instead. I don't know. Part of me is like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Again, it's not like a braggadocio thing. It's not bragging if you can do it. I forget who said that. Old sports figure said, it ain't bragging if you can do it. Was it Muhammad Ali? I'm not sure if that's an original Ali. I might have to challenge you on that. But point is, I just feel like talking about this whole whistleblower thing. I mean, I literally laid it all out yesterday, and now it's all just coming out as the documents and everything is coming out. But let me do this instead. Because every time there's an instance like this, you can just put a mirror to the Democrats, and you're saying it was Ali? That could be a deep fake. Could be a deep fake. A lot of times quotes are misquoted, but point is, we did it. We told you that this was another coup, and now it's all coming out, and it's totally biting the Democrats in the back. But here's the problem. Just like with the border wall that the Democrats called for and now they don't want, we have them on record. And so beyond just the Biden and the Clinton Uranium One Russian-Ukraine collusion, this is now where the Democrats are calling to impeach the president. This is the Democrats behind the impeachment. Years ago, during the Clinton years, saying, you can't impeach a president. Literally the same people. So first of all, you got the same damn crooks, Nancy Pelosi and Jerry Nadler still in government. I'm just going to take a deep breath and just play the clips because these people drive me absolutely insane. So here's Nancy Pelosi, who yesterday announced impeachment inquiries against the most popular president in modern history, bar none. Here's Nancy Pelosi in 1998, though, saying, well, wait, you can't impeach Bill Clinton.
Proceed.
Thank you. Today, the Republican majority is not judging the president with fairness, but impeaching him with a vengeance. In the investigation of the president, fundamental principles which Americans hold dear.
I'm sorry. just listen to Nancy Pelosi again. Listen to her opening statements. You think she was talking about Trump. She's talking about Clinton. But here's Nancy Pelosi actually telling you what the Democrats are doing to Trump.
Proceed.
Thank you. Today, the Republican majority is not judging the president with fairness, but impeaching him with a vengeance.
This was about 30,000 gallons of wine previous.
Which Americans hold dear, privacy, fairness, checks and balances have been seriously violated. And why?
Because we are here
today because the Republicans in the House are paralyzed with hatred of President Clinton, and until the Republicans free themselves of this hatred, our country will suffer. I rise to oppose these unfair motions which call for the removal of the President of the United States from office, and in doing so wish to point out some differences between the investigation of the President and the investigation of Newt Gingrich. The first principle in our investigation of Newt Gingrich was that at the moment we found exculpatory information, it would be reported immediately to the accused and be made public. The independent counsel knew that the president was exonerated when Travelgate, Whitewater, and
Russiagate.
Filegate, and he held that information
complaint.
Until the hearing, indeed until after the election.
This
was
is
not
literally
fair.
A
indeed,
mirror image of the Democrats
of
today. But this was fake news then. But you know what the problem with a mirror is? The problem is you have to have your eyes open to see what's inside. And so that's the big problem here. But now let's go to big fat Jerry Nadler saying the same thing.
Because he knew quite properly that an impeachment of a president.
My goodness, Jerry, did you eat Congressional Hall?
And one of the reasons we all feel
Jerry.
So angry about what they are doing is that they are ripping from us. They are ripping asunder our votes. They are telling us that our votes don't count.
You ate the votes, you bastard. All right. I may have to play this again. That Nancy Pelosi clip, it's like, we'll be right back. All right, pull it up. Oh man, I'm such a brat, but I have to do this to my crew. It wasn't Muhammad Ali that made the original quote. It was Dizzy Dean, Hall of Famer for the St. Louis Cardinals. So, I don't know. I just thought I'd just point that out. I'm such a nerd. So, look, let me just tell you where I'm at right now for today's broadcast. We got R.C. Maxwell coming up. We got some in-studio guests coming up. But here's the thing. It's like, when I lay out the entire situation with this whistleblower complaint yesterday, and this is just a small, again, I'm just looking at a microcosm. You can look at InfoWars work for 25 years, and it's the same thing. But this is just a microcosm in the last 24 hours. And then you see everyone else kind of catch up with what we realize first as the documents and everything gets released. People start to develop and understand the pattern when they follow InfoWars. So when I see this clip of Nancy Pelosi saying, again, what Nancy Pelosi is actually saying, hey, good job on that fine, Scott. Great job. Anyone that makes me look good around here, I give them a thumbs up. So, it's usually me, so I'm giving myself a thumbs up most of the time. But, honestly, it's really just kind of, for me, just like a drop the mic moment and walk away. Now, I could never walk away from this. I just feel like InfoWars' role, I don't know how to explain it, really. InfoWars has been proven so right now, it's really just, it's laughable to see people like freaking out and making a big deal like, oh my gosh, they're trying to take down the president. Oh my gosh, Nancy Pelosi's a liar. Oh my gosh. It's like, yeah, like, duh. Really? The Democrat Party is a bunch of frauds? Really? Oh, really? Jeffrey Epstein was a industrial level child sex trafficker? Like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. Oh wait, yeah, I did. We told you about this. And so I'm at a weird crossroads where it's like, where does InfoWars really go from here? How do we become even more cutting edge than we've already been? But let me just do this again. I'm going to play this clip. I'm going to go back to the Pelosi clip, and I'm going to break this down in real time. Really, I think I should just do it a whole segment on it almost. In fact, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to do a whole segment covering that Pelosi clip and really just breaking it down point by point to show you the hypocrisy and the fraud of these people. So I'm going to do that in the next segment. First, though, folks, InfoWarsStore.com. I don't even know if I've plugged more than 50 seconds. I've been on air for an hour. That's not paying the bills, ladies and gentlemen. And believe me, the bills need to be paid. Black Friday comes early sale. 50% off all InfoWars Live products. Up to 50% off all emergency food preparedness kits. Amazing deals there. Free shipping store-wide. Free shipping store-wide. So let me give you a little hint. When you order the emergency food supplies, when you order the air filters, when you order the water filters, or some of you call in and talk about how you order $1,000 worth of supplements, those are heavy things to ship. And it's not cheap. So you can really take advantage of the free shipping right now. For example, the Alexa Pure Breeze is on sale. Go ahead and pull that Alexa Pure Breeze up, guys. Free shipping on the Alexa Pure Breeze. Now, you know, sit here and hear the Democrats complain all day about air pollution. Okay, well, maybe they should be selling our Alexa Pure Breeze our Alexa Pure Breeze air filters then. It's like, yeah, we know the air is polluted. That's why we put air filters in our home. It's like, wow, so revolutionary. But they say, oh, the air's polluted, so you just need to die. You just need to stop engaging in travel and commute and commerce. We say, hey, the air's polluted and there's some toxins in it. You know, here's an air filter so that you're not breathing it in. They're like, the air's polluted. It's your fault. Just die. It's like, well, we've got a better solution than death. Filter your air with Alexa Pure Breeze at InfoWarsStore.com, and with free shipping, you're saving a bunch of money on that, ladies and gentlemen, or the water filters. Why aren't you filtering your water? You must be crazy if you're not filtering your water. Seriously. Water filters at InfoWarsStore.com. Free shipping store-wide. And again, half off all InfoWars Life supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, I'm going to do these clips on the other side of this break that's upcoming here. Let me just go through some news before we get to that, though. Let me just go through some of this Ukraine news and just kind of break this down. How about this headline from ABC News? Trump urged Ukraine to work with Barr and Giuliani to probe Biden. I mean, this is just such... I don't even know how to explain it. It's the exact opposite. It was Ukraine that wanted Giuliani to come over and help them investigate Biden. It's in the damn transcript. I mean, it's like, I'm telling you, folks, this is my biggest frustration. Excuse me. I'm going to try to remain calm today. This is my biggest frustration. And again, I don't even care. I could walk away from this tomorrow and go live in the country somewhere in a tiny house and just not even care. I'm not in it for money. I'm not in it for fame. I really don't care. I'd rather live a simple life. But let me tell you something. This right here is why they can't have InfoWars on the air. Because they assume the general population is quite literally, well, let's just say ignorant. Because if you read the transcript, you know this is fake news. But most people don't read the transcript. Even Nancy Pelosi doesn't read the transcript. I got the clip. She admits it. In fact, let's go to the clip right now. They just assume everyone is totally ignorant and incompetent. Who knows? Maybe at ABC they are too. Roll clip 13.
I haven't seen it, so I've just come from our own meeting.
Hold on. Pause it. Restart it. Let's do this right. Hold on. Let me be a professional here. Let me be good at my job. Nancy Pelosi, you want to impeach the president over a phone call he made to the Ukrainian president. You would like to impeach him over that phone call. Have you actually read the transcript of that phone call, Nancy?
Come from our own meeting.
All right, let's try that one more time. I blew it the first time. Sound guys blew it the second time. Let's all get on the same page and do this time. Because seriously, these people need to be shamed. So let's do this one more time. Nancy, you want to impeach the president over a phone call he made to a Ukrainian leader. So you're filing to have the president impeached. Have you actually seen the details or read the transcript of that phone call?
I haven't seen it, so I've just come from our own meeting. But the transcript is, the fact is that the President of the United States, in breach of his constitutional responsibilities, has asked a foreign government to help him in his political campaign at the expense of our national security, as well as undermining the integrity of our elections. That cannot stand. Who will be held accountable? No one is above the law.
Now, see, here's what I realize as somebody that has logic and common sense. That doddering old drunk at almost 80 years old with a plastic face and a plastic smile looks like she's, I mean, seriously, she sounds drunk. She can't even talk. She has to know everything she just said is a lie. And so I just sit back and I say, this is not political, ladies and gentlemen. You have to understand something. This is not political for these people. If it was political, they wouldn't waver on all of their stances, whether you can impeach over a president you don't like, whether you can build a wall at the southern border, whether you stand up for Israel's sovereignty. These people flip-flop all the time. So it's not political. So why do they really hate Trump? Seriously, what is it that is making these people expose themselves as total lying hypocrites? Because folks, again, I'm just asking you, you can form your own conclusions. It's not political. The proof is in the pudding. They flip-flop on politics depending on which way the wind blows. So what is it that plastic face demon from Goat Hill Pizza, Nancy Pelosi, what is it that she's so afraid of that she hates Trump? What makes Nancy Pelosi be such a bold-faced liar and fraud to get Trump out of office? What is it, Nancy?
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
All right, I'm going to try not to pontificate on this point too much, but just to echo what we closed the last segment with, Nancy Pelosi admitting she's never read the transcript of the phone call that she just filed an impeachment inquiry over for Donald Trump. I mean, just think about that. And she admits it, too. In that same vein, this hypocrite liar, Nancy Pelosi, who has become uber rich since she's been serving in Congress in 1987. Uber rich. I didn't know Goat Hill Pizza made that much money. Maybe it does. Maybe it does. But I again want to illustrate, and you have to understand the overall point here. It's not that Nancy Pelosi's a fraud and hypocrite. Yes, that's obvious. Yes, that's an easy victory. It's like, I like easy victories. Yeah, I admit that. Who doesn't like an easy win? Of course you like an easy win. So Nancy Pelosi makes over. Nancy Pelosi has made, here, somebody do this math while I'm on air. Nancy Pelosi has probably made, since serving in office, definitely maybe around $5 million. Not $120 million. Which is her estimated net worth. I guess Goat Hill Pizza is bringing in $100 million. I guess I need to start a Goat Hill Pizza. But the point is that Nancy Pelosi is not just a lying fraud, ladies and gentlemen. That's the low-hanging fruit. That's easy. That's why everyone will call that out. No. The story is that, why is Nancy Pelosi such a lying hypocrite fraud? And it's not political. I cannot explain this enough. It's not political that these people are such lying frauds. If it was, they wouldn't be such flip-floppers on their politics. But that's been proven time and time again with the border wall, with the having kids in cages, all of it. It's bad when Trump does it. It's good when Obama does it. Trump wants a border, bad. Hillary Clinton, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, all them call for a border. It's good. Same thing now. They're all calling for Trump's impeachment. Why? Now, listen to this clip of Nancy Pelosi in 1998, because Nancy Pelosi files an impeachment inquiry against Trump for a phone call she knows nothing about, a source that she doesn't know, literally totally ignorant, files impeachment inquiries. We all know the real reason they don't like Trump. Why? Not political. Something else going on. Are all of them involved in the Epstein pedophile sex network? I don't know. Again, form your own conclusions. Form your own conclusions about how much money Goat Hill Pizza brings in. I'm not here to form those conclusions for you. But Nancy Pelosi in 1998 says you can't impeach President Clinton, and then lays out all the exact reasons. I'm telling you, I'm just gonna, it's like this. What everything Nancy Pelosi says in this clip about the Republicans and Bill Clinton with that impeachment is literally what the Democrats are now doing to Trump. But it's even deeper than that. So I want to play this clip and really break it down piece by piece. So let's go now to Nancy Pelosi in 1998 during the Clinton impeachment proceedings.
Proceed.
Thank you. Today, the Republican majority is not judging the president with fairness, but impeaching him with a vengeance.
Pause.
In the investigation.
Now, that's literally the Democrat Party today. Nancy Pelosi, who filed the impeachment inquiry, has not seen the transcript, has not heard the phone call, doesn't know who the source is, and doesn't know who the source's source is. She filed an impeachment inquiry for nothing, literally, except vengeance. You see? I mean, again, folks, the hypocrite nature of this is off the charts. Continue.
Fundamental principles which Americans hold dear, privacy, fairness, checks and balances, have been seriously violated.
Pause
and
it.
Why?
Barack Hussein Obama and his administration did just that. They're the ones that illegally spied on President Trump. They're the ones that undermined privacy. They're the ones that undermined trust in government. Literally, that's what Obama did. All on record. But again, Nancy Pelosi complains then. She's okay with it now. Why? It's not political, folks. There's something else going on. This is, it all equals one thing to me. Nancy Pelosi is a wanton criminal. Continue.
Because we are here, today because the Republicans in the House are paralyzed with hatred of President Clinton.
And do I even need to explain this? Do I even need to tell you that it's the Democrats that hate Trump? Beyond that, folks, it's the hate Trump brigade. They teach their kids to chant that they hate Donald Trump. They tell their kids Trump is killing kids in cages. They hate Donald Trump. It's beyond hatred. It's beyond vitriol. It's demonic possession in its nature, literally.
The Republicans just hate Bill Clinton. They're paralyzed. That's why they want to impeach him.
No, that's literally the Democrat Party today. And by the way, I could sit here and go on about how bad Clinton was, how he sold nuclear secrets to the Chinese, how he bombed the bejeebies out of Serbia. Who knows about Clinton bombing the Serbians into hell? Oh, nobody knows about that, huh? What about Bill Clinton's Me Too moments and the rapes? No, they don't care about that. Continue.
All the Republicans free themselves of this hatred, our country will suffer.
I rise to
oppose these unfair motions which call for the removal of the President of the United States from office, and in doing so wish to point out some differences between the investigation of the President and the investigation of Newt Gingrich. The first principle in our investigation of Newt Gingrich was that at the moment we found exculpatory information, it would be reported immediately to the accused and be made public. The independent counsel knew that the president was exonerated when Travelgate, Whitewater, and Filegate, and he held that information until the hearing, indeed until after the election.
Pause it.
This was not.
Now, what are they doing? They're doing that exact same thing, except the information's public. That's the only difference. That's Russian collusion. That's Russian collusion. They did the investigation. They released all the files, all the documents. Mueller did multiple testimonies, multiple reports. They already got it all. There was nothing. But they continue. They continue to say he's guilty of something he's been found innocent of. Now they're doing the exact same thing again with this Ukrainian whistleblower complaint, even though the transcript's out, even though we know it was Joe Biden that did it and not Trump. You see? Do you see how this works? Continue.
Action. This was not fair. Indeed, it is the responsibility of any prosecutor to immediately release information that is exculpatory.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And that's why Donald Trump should declassify everything. The FISA memos. In fact, let's just declassify all of President Obama's phone conversations while we're at it. Let's go to Jerry Nadler in clip 14. Saying the exact same thing in the same period of time.
Because he knew quite properly that an impeachment of a president is an undoing of a national election. And one of the reasons we all feel so angry about what they are doing is that they are ripping from us, they are ripping asunder our votes. They are telling us that our votes don't count. And that the election must be set aside.
Seriously, what is it that makes these people be such lying hypocrites, folks? And it's not political. It's really not. You can make your own assumptions. You know what happened with Jeffrey Epstein. But, man, these people are lying.
Look, I'm not trying.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Warning, this broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Plenty of news to get to here. Maybe I'll open up the phone lines as well. And ask you, why do you think Nancy Pelosi is such a blatant liar and hypocrite? What is she hiding? What skeletons are in her closet? She laundering highway funds? She knows some Epstein-type people? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we'll open up the phone lines and ask you that. But, folks, I may just do this right now since I haven't taken my beet supplement today. Brand new supplement from InfoWarsStore.com. Vaso Beet Complete. exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And this is our brand new supplement at InfoWarsStore.com. I've been taking a beet supplement for years now, so I'm excited to see that InfoWars has gotten on board. In fact, I mentioned this, and I already had a couple of friends say, hey, I take a beet supplement too. I can't wait to switch. So now you can switch. And I got to tell you this, at least from the competitor, the competing beet supplement that I've been taking, it is way more expensive than the price that we're putting it out there at least right now with the introductory rate of 50% off. 50% off Vaso Beet Complete. And I will tell you, I like to use it. You can take two droppers daily to help with your nitric oxide natural production. I like to take it before my workouts as kind of a combo stack with my pre-workout because, of course, the nitric oxide helps with blood pressure, helps expand your veins, so vitamins and nutrients and oxygen and protein and everything can get to your muscles quicker and more effectively. So Vaso Beet Complete, the latest supplement at InfoWarsStore.com. We just never stop. 50% off all InfoWars Life supplements and free shipping store-wide. Free shipping store-wide. Like if you stacked the B12 supplement Ultra 12 with Vaso Beet, yeah, you'll notice the difference. You'll get an energy boost, and then it'll be even more powerful with the Vaso Beet or a Turbo Force with Vaso Beet. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll try that sometime. Maybe I'll do that on air. So there you go, folks. 50% off Vaso Beet at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, where to go from here? I mean, I can sit here and just break this down all day. I mean, they're lying. They're straight up lying about this whistleblower complaint, about the transcript, about the phone call, but they're also confused in their own huddle, and they don't know what to do because they might not even know the original source. They, again, it's like you break huddle without, if you break the huddle with 10 men and then there's a guy out there that didn't get the play, you throw an interception, it's pick six. And that's kind of where the Democrats are at right now. Acting Director of National Intelligence threatened to resign if he couldn't speak freely before Congress on whistleblower complaint. Now, my understanding of this, and of course, it's from the Washington Post, so they'll spin it, make anything look bad about Trump. My understanding is that it's kind of like what they tried to do with Roger Stone. They say, oh, we can only have closed-door hearings. That way they can lie about him, manipulate him, and destroy him, and he gets no public speech. And he even gets gagged. So to me, I think that's what the Director of National Intelligence is trying to avoid, is to just say, hey, wait a second, I'll testify publicly and put all this on record so that you guys can't lie and manipulate it by doing a closed-door hearing. New York Magazine, Senate passes unanimous resolution to hand whistleblower complaint to Intel committees. So what? It's all fake news. It's all made up. They don't know the source. The source has now admitted it's hearsay. Washington Post had to publish that. None of it. It's all Russian collusion part two, ladies and gentlemen. But fine. Let's see the whistleblower complaint. Let's really get to the bottom of it. It's going to end up being an FBI spy or a Democrat operative or maybe even John Bolton. What's going on at Fox News? Judge Napolitano, Trump has admitted committing crime in talks with Ukraine. Well, no, that's not true at all. So why would Judge Andrew Napolitano say that? Someone that you'd think is a friend of Trump's. Oh, what did we tell you? Fox News is going to be anti-Trump by the 2020 election cycle, just like they were in the 2016 election cycle. Or, I don't know, maybe Napolitano just wants to get some headlines. From the Hill, George Conway predicts Republicans will vote against Trump on impeachment. You know, this is odd considering a group of Republicans just voted against Trump on the border wall. That would be Lamar Alexander, Tennessee, Roy Blunt, Missouri, Susan Collins, Maine, Mike Lee, Utah, Jerry Morin, Kansas, Lisa Murkowski, Alaska, Rand Paul, Kentucky, Rob Portman, Ohio, Mitt Romney, Utah, Pat Toomey, Pennsylvania, and Roger Wicker, Mississippi, voted against the emergency declaration for a border wall. Now, I'm not saying that same group would necessarily be voting for impeachment. However, it does make you wonder if some of these Republican senators are still a little afraid of fake news, meaning they still think maybe Trump's going to go down. I don't want to be on record voting for some policy, so I'm just going to vote against the president for now. Could be some of that going on, but it won't matter to me. I don't think they'll be able to get to impeachment. But they do have the numbers in the House. They just don't have anything to impeach the president on. That's their big scandal. But in MSN.com today, Trump makes clear he's ready for a fight he has long anticipated. Boy, I hope that's right. Boy, I hope that's right. And I'm telling you, man, the smartest play for the president, and maybe he's got it planned out, is to turn around all these subpoenas, all these document dumps, all this declassification onto the Democrats and see what happens. What do you think would happen if Nancy Pelosi got subpoenaed for her tax returns? A woman who's made over $100 million outside of her congressional office. How did she make that money? Is Goat Hill Pizza doing that well? Why don't I open one? So, and Trump says impeachment will be a positive for me. Well, that just seems to be the trend. And this isn't even blowing smoke up Trump's, you know, hind end. It's just a fact. Everything the Democrats have tried to do to destroy this man has empowered him to some extent. His approval ratings are better than ever. Biden's now going to be exposed for his corruption with Ukraine, and that's just going to continue to expose the fraud of the fake news and the Democrat Party. Scandal-free President Obama, give me a break. So we'll see what happens with this impeachment inquiry, but it's not going to go anywhere good for the Democrats, at least. Yeah, flashing back in time, as if the New York Times forgot, from April 23rd, 2015, cash flowed to the Clinton Foundation amid Russian uranium deal. I mean, you know, just like cash flowed to the Biden family amid Biden-Ukrainian intimidation. So it's all the same stuff. And by the way, Jim Hoff has a story at Gateway Pundit. You can't make this up. Hypocrite Democrat senators wrote Ukraine last year to investigate President Trump. And the lawyers for the whistleblower are also Clinton Democrat lawyers. So we've got all these damn, oh, same Democrat lawyers that were part of the Russiagate thing on the Mueller team. They come back, man. I'm telling you, this is the same group of people running coup part two. Russian collusion failed. They're now going with Ukrainian collusion, and it's going to blow up even worse than Russian collusion because they broke the huddle and they weren't even on the same page. This is unbelievable. But yeah, what they claim Trump did, Biden literally did, and the Democrats literally did request Ukraine. It's all in the story. They have the documents. The Democrats literally asked Ukraine to help them investigate Trump. You can't make this stuff up. The Democrat Party, frauds, terrorists, demons. I mean, it's all.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
All right, I'm going to give out the phone number, and we'll take some phone calls today. Please, we do kind of do open phone lines here, and so people call in with anything, but let's stick to topic today. If you want to talk about the total just blatant fraud and lies of these Democrats with the Ukrainian deal, I mean, obviously the Russian deal too, the impeachment deal where they say, oh, don't impeach, you know, you can't impeach Clinton for all the stuff that they're doing to Trump. And why? I mean, really, though, what is behind all this? Because it's not political. So what is it? What is it about these people that makes them such bold-faced liars and in my view, just blatant criminals in public view? What are they hiding that they would commit treason for the American people to see? What are they hiding that it would be more advantageous for them to commit treason to try to cover it up than for it to potentially be exposed by a president that they don't control. So, 888-201-2244. And while we aggregate your calls, I will go through some of these other news headlines. All right, there are some developments with some Epstein stories here, and it's quite confusing. So we'll have to find out what happens. But first you have the Miami Herald story that's just, you know, been really all over this, covering this since the beginning. Dershowitz seeks to have defamation case dismissed. Alan Dershowitz was sued by Virginia Guffrey, and there have been a lot of revelations coming out of this lawsuit, and now Les Wexner of Victoria's Secret has been included in this as well. But it's odd, and I almost don't want to talk about this but for obvious reasons, but it's strange because you have the victims pointing out big names that all were part of this sex slave trafficking run by Jeffrey Epstein. And then you have Dershowitz saying, oh, this is just all about money. So, I mean, we'll see. I guess maybe we'll see the truth. But here's what's odd about this to me. You have all this Me Too garbage, right? Me Too movement, Me Too marches. It's all nonstop. Where is the Me Too movement on this? Where is the Me Too movement with Virginia Guffrey and the rest of the victims of Jeffrey Epstein's industrial-level sex trafficking operation? Where are the Me Too movements when it comes to Alan Dershowitz and Leslie Wexner? And for that regard, it's like it's really strange because now, let me go down all these. Prince Andrew's role in Jeffrey Epstein pedo scandal is being covered up by the FBI, claims ex-top cop who says he has hours of damning CCTV footage. Now, anybody who's gone down the rabbit holes on this knows some of the claims that have been made by alleged intelligence sources, ex-cops, specifically out of the New York Police Department. I'll stop right there. Where they're saying, I mean, I won't even say the stuff they people are claiming they have on tape, but it would basically, you know, in fact, probably you could never even show this to the public. It's that bad kind of stuff. It's the stuff that people who go onto the dark web to, you know, watch smut and child porn. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you really don't even want to think about it or talk about it. But who knows how far this goes? But more is being outed. Where's the Me Too movement? Again, the Me Too movement, totally silent on all of this. But like, for women who were never even victims of Donald Trump, the Me Too movement is shouting as loud as they can at the top of their lungs. But the real sex trafficking with real women and real victims and real lawsuits and a guy who magically killed himself in jail and powerful politicians and businessmen and lawyers and academics and media figures, nothing. And it just shows you how the whole Me Too movement was contrived. How about Matt Lauer? Sexual harassment accusers to tell all in Ronan Farrow book. Remember Matt Lauer? With his button in his office to lock people in. Cop who oversaw Harvey Weinstein probe is under investigation. Oh. And it's like, now it's like, where do you even stand on Harvey Weinstein? Now, I'm not trying to stand up for Harvey Weinstein, but was Harvey Weinstein just a sacrificial lamb in all this? Just kind of a creepo sacrificial lamb, but really not engaging in the hardcore bad stuff? Because they all went after Weinstein. He's still fighting this and having some legal victories. Oh, but now they're looking at the cops involved. But for the Epstein victims, the Me Too movement doesn't even exist. Meanwhile, woman behind French Me Too movement is fined for defamation. So this whole thing is getting out of control. But that's because the Me Too movement is based on a fraud. It's not about bringing down actual sexual deviance, sex trafficking industries, pedophile trafficking. No, it's all about destroying President Trump. That's the sad truth. And that's why the Me Too movement is a total fraud. So instead of going after real victims of sex trafficking, the Me Too movement just wants Trump out of office. So it just shows you how they're totally fraudulent. And they're silent on all the Epstein stuff. Totally silent. It's like the Me Too movement just disappeared overnight, isn't it? Amazing. So you have the U.S. Senate votes to terminate Trump's national emergency over the border. So, nope, that wall's not coming. No good. Those are Republicans, ladies and gentlemen, some of which you like. They have their own reasons, but voting against the wall with the emergency declaration. Bombshell from Cassandra Fairbanks with the Gateway Pundit. Photographs provide additional evidence. Rep. Ilhan Omar married her brother. It's not even a debate anymore. It's literally a picture with her family commenting, and they're like, yeah, family's all here. And you can go look at them all for yourself. Oh, and guess what? They deleted that photo, too. Kind of like Ilhan Omar deleted the tweet about her father, her husband. Now it's deleting pictures of her family and her brother. So Ilhan Omar married her brother, committed tax fraud, immigration fraud, the whole nine. And no, but Trump's bad because, you know, he wants to stand up for the American people at the UN. He's just so awful. Then you have this going on. Local governments spend millions caring for migrants dumped by Trump's Border Patrol, USA Today. Oh, I love this. Oh, it's Trump's fault. By the way, is that in San Antonio? That might be outside of the San Antonio facility. I'm almost positive that is. That's the migration in San Antonio when they leave the shelter and go to the church at night. That's it right there. Hundreds of African migrants, many of which have not been tested for Ebola. I need to chill again here. You start to think about this stuff, it just drives you crazy. Just drives you crazy beyond just the fact that it's happening, but the corruption behind it, the lies to protect it all. And then the USA Today is going to act like it's Trump's fault. No, these people are coming here illegally. They're told how to get in by the Democrat Party and the ACLU. There's no border. Mexico and all these companies that are countries that we give hundreds of millions of dollars to the tune of billions of dollars over time in humanitarian aid. And then they just give us the problem. It's like, here's the money, solve the problem. And then they take the money and give us the problem. And then the USA Today says, it's all Trump's fault. These are Trump's Border Patrol and Trump's migrants and Trump's this and Trump everything. It's like, no, Trump wants to shut this down. And a damn judge in California won't let him. Excuse me. See, I just chill out here. And then the USA Today follows it up with this story. One deadly week reveals where the immigration crisis begins and where it ends. In 1 week, thousands of migrants overwhelm the U.S. border. We reveal their dangerous journeys and the broken immigration system that awaits them. But it's always the same twist. It's always Trump's fault. It's always this is fault. It's always the United States to blame. And so therefore, we should pay for it all. And we should lose our sovereignty. And our economy should suffer. And we're not allowed to have a southern border. We're not allowed to protect our culture. We're not allowed to protect our heritage. No! By the way, it's all Trump's fault. Even though he's the one trying to stop it. So it's like, I mean, literally, they print stories and they're like, 67% of women that come into the country illegally get raped at least once on the way. People die trying to get here. People have deadly diseases they're bringing in. They publish all of it. It's mainstream news. And then they say, Trump is bad. And he's the one trying to solve the problem. He's the one trying to fix it. It will drive you insane. So, we're going to take your phone calls on the other side of this break. We've got the lines lit up, a couple lines open. But again, I'd like to hear maybe from first-time callers, if possible, what do you think is really behind this, folks? Why is Nancy Pelosi and Jerry Nadler and all these people such open, bold-faced frauds? Is it because they know they can get away with it? Because the media is in their back pocket? It's not political. We've proven that. Because they flip-flop on their politics all the time. Are they covering up for crimes? Are these some of the biggest criminals we've ever had? Are they involved in Epstein stuff? What is going on with these Democrats that have just fully exposed themselves as liars and criminals? What do you think? We take your calls on the other side.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The president who believes he's above the law. Pursuing the leader of another nation to investigate a political opponent to help win his election is not the conduct of an American president. The allegations that
blocked hundreds of millions of dollars. He blocked hundreds of millions of dollars in congressionally approved aid to another country. And it's an allegation. Unless he agreed to smear a political opponent, is not the conduct of an American president.
Before the wave of confusion surrounding the obvious corruption between Biden and son and a phone call President Trump made to the Ukrainian president to inquire on that corruption before the U.S. handed over $400 million to a historically corrupt nation, the Socialist Democrats Princess Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was whining that the bigger national scandal wasn't that the president wasn't impeached, it was that the Democratic Party wasn't impeaching the president. And now Pelosi and Schumer's true boss has made her satisfaction known.
I think that we all, you know, many of us, especially from districts that are experiencing the brunt of the president's decisions, have been feeling a sense of urgency around this. But I think the development around the whistleblower, I think these developments are exactly, you know, where we need to be going.
Biden and company are wading into the contempt quicksand. Because now, Joe Biden and his son, who had zero expertise on oil and natural gas and somehow got billions in deals from the Ukraine and China, will collectively fumble over their story as they already have from the start. The China investigation will ultimately involve the nephew of no less than Boston gangster Whitey Bulger and John Kerry's stepson. I can hear the destruction of evidence now in the Obama camp, as those transcripts between Biden and the Ukrainian officials seem to accidentally disappear. These two investigations will continue to waste even more taxpayer dollars and insult more of our collective intelligence. The one investigation looking into President Trump's phone call with the Ukrainian president back in July, which could turn out to be a royal flush for the Trump administration.
I spoke to a senior administration official a short time ago who said that the White House is not just releasing the transcript of this July 25th phone call tomorrow. They'll be releasing other documents, including a look at what the inspector general at the intelligence community found about the whistleblower who started this whole thing.
And the other investigation inspecting Joe Biden's public braggadocio that he protected Hunter from a Ukrainian corruption investigation.
I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired.
Not to mention, a corrupt Obama ambassador refused visas to Ukrainian officials to enter the U.S. who had evidence of the Obama administration's misconduct to give to Trump officials. Throughout all of this, is Trump playing 3D chess?
The two biggest takeaways, one is that Trump is still being spied upon, even as president. That is shocking. And if this whistleblower goes in front of Congress and testifies, it'll be fascinating to see what exposure that opens up to other members of the intelligence community that apparently did have access to these calls and shared this clearly classified information with somebody who was not read in on the conversations.
And the big question.
And the final thing I keep wondering about is how long are Democrats going to circle the wagons to protect Joe Biden, who is increasingly showing himself to be a terrible candidate?
Therefore, today, I'm announcing the House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry.
Meanwhile, Pelosi, who doesn't have the votes for impeachment, has the nerve to quote Benjamin Franklin, while her do-nothing party continues to weaken its legitimacy as a party and the security of the executive office, quoting our founding fathers as if America is blind to the attacks the Democrats have waged on those founding fathers for years.
They asked Benjamin Franklin, what do we have, a republic or a monarchy? Franklin replied, a republic if you can keep it.
We have to make sure that we can answer the constitutional call.
The founding fathers were very clear. We have a constitutional responsibility to serve as a check and balance on an out-of-control executive branch.
George Washington was a slave owner, and we need to call slave owners out for what they are. Whether we think they were protecting American freedom or not, he wasn't protecting my freedom. I wasn't someone who my ancestors weren't deemed human beings to him. And so to me, I don't care if it's a George Washington.
on cup two of the Patriot Blend Coffee from InfoWarsStore.com, which is currently the official drink of the War Room. It's usually Turbo Force, but I've switched to coffee this week for some reason, so down the hatch. My favorite coffee is the Patriot Blend from InfoWarsStore.com. We make it easy to support us, folks. If you drink coffee, why not go with the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee? We got a one-pound bag, medium roast. Right there it is. Wake up, America, Patriot Blend coffee from InfoWarsStore.com. Read all the five-star reviews for yourself. 98% recommendation. That's about as high as you can get there. I mean, you'll never see 100. That's almost impossible. Sometimes you may see a 99, but 98 is about as good as you can get, folks. So we've got it here stocked up in our studios. We love having it in the break room. Don't forget about the Black Friday Comes Early special at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off all InfoWars Life supplements, free shipping store-wide, and double Patriot points with every purchase, which can be used towards future purchases at InfoWarsStore.com. So check it all out. All the great supplements. Check out the hats, the t-shirts. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. The air filters, the water filters, InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, support yourself, support free speech by going to InfoWarsStore.com. Now, we've got callers lined up, ready to go. Let's start with Shannon in Texas. Go ahead, Shannon.
Owen, how you doing?
Just fine, thank you.
Good to talk to you again, man, friend. Man, I gotta say something about these protein bars. I love the coconut. It is amazing. It tastes great. It's like everybody says, it's like a meal in itself. So I highly recommend those. If anybody
else, let me ask you a question about the protein bar, the coconut protein bar from InfoWarsStore.com. I like the peanut butter chocolate one myself, but I've never been a big fan of coconut. And there's all those coconut candy bars. Like, I compare the InfoWars Life protein bar, the peanut butter chocolate, to, like, you know, a chocolate bar, except it's better, I think. But for, like, the chocolate bars with the coconut that exist, how does the protein bar compare?
It's like an Almond Joy without the almond.
Okay. So it is. So it tastes like a candy bar, too.
Yeah, it's candy bar. My kids love them. I had to hide them from them because, you know, they're a little too much for them. So, you know, it's a big bar. You can split it up about three ways for kids. I mean, they're thick and they're real filling, and they give you lots of energy for your pre workout or after a good workout.
Yeah, I wish these were around when I was in high school and playing sports, because so many times after school you're hungry. And, you know, you're a growing boy, but you don't have time to eat because you got to get your equipment ready to go. And these would have been the perfect snack. I wish I would have had them back then. Thank you so much for supporting us, Shannon.
Hey, no problem.
So you wanted to call in and see his impeachment on the board here.
Yes. I think that their internal polling has shown that there is no one likable on the Dem side. And I'm sure Trump's internal polling is showing that he's winning. And they're panicking. This is, I mean, it's clear. Just their demeanor, the way they're acting. This is like a desperate reach. I mean, it's like, I mean, there's nothing here. It's a nothing burger. Just like the Russian collusion. It's just to feed the media frenzy and just put it in the mouth of people. I mean, from Stormy Daniels to the Russian collusion to, you know, this. It none of it makes any sense.
So that's my point, though, because you say none of it makes sense. So how do you make sense of it? I can only figure it's not political, because you can prove it's not political. They flip-flop on the politics over time. So it's obviously not political. So I'm just left to assume these are criminals. They're trying to hide massive criminal activity. I can't make sense of it either other way.
Well, yeah, if he wins again, he doesn't have to run for re-election, so he can go after them in ways that they never thought possible. And he can totally close the book on a lot of this stuff, and they don't want that. And that's why they're so desperate to keep him out of there. They're terrified.
And that's the thing, too. It's like they don't even care at this point. They're like, all right, let's just throw anything against the wall and see if it sticks.
You have never seen anything like this in your lifetime. I guarantee you. This is something that just it blows the mind. I mean, we didn't like Obama, but none of us acted like this or was crazed to this point. You know, this, and he did a lot of terrible things. But,
and it's almost like overdue, right? It's like Trump needs to launch these inquiries into Obama. I mean, let's get transcripts from Obama.
Well, that's what they're afraid is going to happen. If he wins another term, that's what's going to happen.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, and the floodgates would open. And here's the thing, too. It doesn't even matter at that point, because the mainstream media can still pull the wool over the eyes of the average public and they believe the average crap that comes out. But at that point, it won't even matter. It'll be game over. They can run around with their lies all day long. The American people already know what are going on. They're just not represented fairly in the media and social media and such. But that would just be game over. It would just be game over. And the noise of the fake news would just be, it would fall on deaf ears.
Hey, Owen, can I mention one more thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't get a chance to call him before, but when Candace Owen was asked, when was America great? It was great in the founding. It was great during World War II. It has been great since Ronald Reagan. It was great under Donald Trump. It's always been great. You know, that's the answer every time.
But the problem is, and that's the issue, is that they don't view America that way. They're taught to, when they hear America, to view sexist and racist and slavery and this and war. And they forget about all the liberties, all the independence, the experiment in self-government that's gotten us here. Hey, it's not perfect, but you notice how people are rushing to get here, nowhere else. Thanks so much for the call, Shannon. Let's go to Sean in New Jersey. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, how's it going today, Owen?
Good.
Yeah, I think it was just... I think the Democrats and the whistleblower was just a deep fake to get Trump to tip his hand on the actual structure and juiciness of the call to see how big the hammer was that's about to drop.
You think they did a bait and switch just to get this intelligence?
Oh, yeah. Because think about it. Everything went on with the Ukraine. They needed to know the content of that conversation.
The only thing I would say in response is they probably already had access to this transcript or access to the phone call by spying on it. So I'm not sure if that motive would really exist, because my guess is they already knew the contents of the conversation, but I could be wrong.
Well, that was just a thought, you know.
Well, hey, we're looking at all the angles because the narrative we're being told doesn't add up. So how dare we try to figure it out for ourselves? Like, by the way, it's like, I don't want to go off on a jag, but like, remember the Las Vegas shooting? Like, more is coming out about that. And again, InfoWars had it right, folks. Looks like that was actually a political hit on a Saudi Arabian leader. And I'll just leave it there. We had the intel. We literally told it to you. It's crazy. Thanks for the call, Sean. Jefferson in Virginia. Go ahead, Jefferson.
Hey, Owen. I know you can hear me, you mushmouth colonizer.
Colonizer! Sorry, that's just one of the craziest guys I've ever had on video. Yeah, go ahead.
That was great. I know you want to take down Beto, and Savannah loves to say the word Beto. I don't know why, but I think you've seen Stripes, haven't you?
Stripes? With Bill Murray?
Sure. Don't call me
Francis. Oh, it's been years.
Don't call me Francis. That scene? That's a meme. Just put Beto's head on Francis, where he's saying, don't call me Francis or I'll kill you. Right? And at the end, you have Sergeant Holka say, lighten up, pendejo.
Man, I swear, though, it was the funniest thing. I don't have the video. I may have put it up on my press release yesterday on Subscribestar, but there was a video of Beto talking at some rally he had, like five people showed up, and he's referring to himself in the third person. He's like, Beto, Beto. But it's so strange because he's white as the, you know, wind-driven snow, and he talks like, you know, a normal person, but then all of a sudden he has a Mexican accent every time he says Beto. So he's like, yeah, it's been really nice to run this Beto campaign. It's been really tough. And you're like, wow, this guy, but hey, I don't have to take Beto down. He's already done. I mean, he has no chance.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Darren McBreen just came in studio, and we're working on another great project right now. Real Stable Genius, part two coming up. A little teaser, Mr. Climate Change Activist. I'll be cutting that audio, but then Darren, it sucks. I barely get time to spend with the crew around here with my schedule. He invited me out to dinner. I'm like, man, I'd love to go get some dinner. I'm starving, but I got so much work to do after the show today. But I was thinking, you know, I had a long day. I was thinking to myself, I was like, you know, I really deserve a nice meal, nice dinner. And I think I'm going to go, when I finally get out of the office today, I think I'm going to go get a big, fat, juicy steak. Big old juicy steak. The crew literally just cheered. Wow, you guys like steak, huh? What the hell's wrong with you? So, considering I'm going to have a big, fat, juicy steak tonight, I better take my carnivore before I do it, because sometimes when I'm really hungry and I'm eating steak, I basically eat it like a wild animal. It's not pretty. So I need to take the carnivore from InfoWarsStore.com, the probiotic specifically designed for high protein consumption, like red meat. Because here's what happens, folks. I won't get too graphic with you, but if you don't fully chew up your steak to oblivion and pulverize it, and you swallow a piece of meat, it gets stuck down there in your digestive system. Yes, like, for example, a big bite of juicy red steak fed to you by Alex Jones. By the way, thoughts and prayers with Roger Stone. They're trying to destroy him right now in court, and they've gagged him too. It's not a good situation. But if you're going to have a big, high-protein meal and a big, juicy steak, carnivore before helps you digest it, which can then also help with, let's say, indigestion or flatulation. I'll leave it at that. But seriously, I'm going to take my carnivore before I have my juicy steak tonight. And I would suggest you get your carnivore too if you enjoy a high protein red meat diet. All right, let's go back out to the phone calls here. Who's been holding the longest? It's Steve in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I know I got a nice big bone-in ribeye, medium rare, going right now, so...
Oh, Steve, I'm too hungry. You can't do that to me. I haven't even eaten today.
Well, you know, about this whole impeachment thing, I'm really waiting to hear of what, to have a formal charge, because they tried with the Russian collusion stuff, and then, you know, it's obstruction, and I've never seen anybody more transparent. He never stopped anybody from testifying, you know, and then this whole transcript thing comes out, and I just want everybody to remember one word in the transcript today, and that's javelin. Because a lot of people, Americans that are Democrat, number one, can't tell you what an AR-15 is. They're really not going to be able to tell you what a javelin is. And I think what they're going to do is they're going to try to, number one, they're talking about, you know, well, this isn't the exact transcript we wanted. We wanted something else. Well, this is the one that was listed in the complaint. But that it mentions javelin in there, which America does all the time with selling military assets to people who we think is friendly. And it's really about kind of giving a little middle finger to Russia whenever we sell javelins to the Ukraine.
Yeah, and that's some deep stuff. Again, we report on it how most of it was just talking about military assets or weapons, and you've got the whole thing in Crimea, and so there's a new leadership in Ukraine now, and you had Biden with the old neo-Nazi leadership, the corrupt leadership, and now you have the new leadership in Trump trying to work with them. So yeah, that stuff is kind of deep. I will say this though, what's strange about it is, why are they moving for impeachment now? I mean, they had their ducks in a row a lot better for Russian collusion. I mean, even though there's nothing there, but that doesn't seem to matter these days. If the media says it, the brainwashed stooges follow. So the question now is, why are they moving forward with impeachment over something that they've had no time to develop, something they're not even on the same page. The Democrats are already lined up to file this impeachment. I mean, this is wild. So, I guess that's the question. It's like, why now?
Well, it's all about 2020, in my opinion, because if you look at our president, versus anybody on that stage. They have nothing to debate with him.
Oh, it's going to be a joke.
Yeah, but they have to have something. So if they can just keep on talking about, well...
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good point, Steve. Just put as much crap out there as possible to give the Democrats talking points during the 2020 debates because they have to avoid the real issues. Great point, Steve.
It's all about talking points because...
That's it. No. That's a great point. Time will tell, but watch out for Steve from Pennsylvania to be totally accurate with that call. All right, I think we got time for one more. Matt in California. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's up, Owen? Just got to say, your show is on fire these days. Listened back in the day, and first I was kind of, I don't know if I can listen through it. I mean, now I'm just riveted every day. You're just so on point, and I'm fired. I'm loving it.
Well, it's just we're just master builders here at InfoWars trying to give the people the truth that they can't find anywhere else.
Yeah, Steve's on point for sure. As for, just not to be a kind of a dick about it, but splitting hairs between politics and ideology, it's really what they're devoid of is an ideology, you know, because, you know, even in prison or whatever, they're like, oh, it's politics. You know, it's more like a game. What they really are lacking is any kind of concrete ideology or belief that they stand on. And as for why they're doing it, I would say it's obvious. It's the Chaikons and the globalists. I mean, we all know that. They're all backed by the Chaikons and the globalists. And they're afraid if Trump comes out in the UN and says he's anti-globalism, he's anti-China, when that all falls down, the cards, you know, hit the table.
So you think it's more about the fall of globalism and a one-world government than just the notion that these Democrats might just be total criminals, and that's what they're trying to hide. Maybe they're that committed to the one world government. That'd be shocking to me, but maybe that's the case. Maybe they really are that committed. Thanks for the call, Matt. All right, we can squeeze one more in. Renton on Jones Island. Go ahead. Make it quick, please.
Hey, Big O. I think to understand the Dems' current position, you kind of need to look at it from their drug-addled mind. Not literally, but I think especially given what's been released with Buck and his connection with Schiff, he's always had those meth eyes. I think some of these people should start getting drug tested. I was also
I'm totally in agreement with that. They made Trump take a drug test. What do you think Nancy Pelosi's on? How many glasses of wine does she have before the average press conference?
Yeah. Also, I was wondering, what's your plans for Clown Fest 2020 over here in Wisconsin? There's already hotels booked up to Chicago and campsites filling up.
Campsites? Are they going rogue? Are they going to build a tent city outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin for the DNC nomination for 2020? I don't know what the plan is yet. I really don't know. I really have no idea what we'll do for the next clown show. I can't say.
Infowars.com/show. Making talk radio great again. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
All right, I'm now joined in studio by Mark Sidney. Spreely.com is the website created as an alternative to Facebook and the other social media sites that ban people for their political speech or just because they feel like it. Spreely.com. Mark Sidney from Spreely.com is with us, and we were talking briefly during the break, but I wanted him to just kind of divulge some of this to me on air. But based on what I'm seeing here, you have been censored, or at least a group you started, Hillary for Prison Facebook page, had over 1 million subscribers. Did that get purged from Facebook?
Well, it's had some problems, but that one's still there. But my partner, Terry Littlepage, had invested $100,000 in ads to increase the reach of his Facebook page. And he saw his platform completely taken away, his wife, his sister, everyone in his family deplatformed. In fact, his wife's sister died in a plane crash, and his wife was a legacy contact for his sister. The media was on her page pulling all these pictures to use in the news on the story. He contacted Facebook. Can my wife get her page back? She's got nothing to do with my business. And Facebook wouldn't give it back to her. There was nothing they could do. So my partner lost all of his assets. This he was in publishing, took his entire platform away, you know, after spending all this money. And we said, this just isn't right. It wasn't him. It was 800 people and pages that were taken. So we thought, it's pretty obvious where this is going. Someone needs to do something. I wish someone with more money and expertise than I was the one who did it, but no one was. So we stepped up. We created a site very similar. Our goal to create something similar to Facebook, say 2016, where it was in an arena of ideas, a meritocracy. The more people engaged with your stuff, the better it did. We don't care about what your viewpoint is or your personality, who you are. As long as your speech is protected by the First Amendment, we will protect it. You know, that's notwithstanding overtly sexual content. There's plenty of sites for that. It's
pretty, yeah, like probably Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, well, Twitter has their own problem with that, no question.
But you said something that I want you to kind of talk about a little bit. You said you guys were investing money into the ad or you know, the whole thing is, hey, you invest some money here. You kind of have a partnership with Facebook. They boost your performance. They make sure you get more views, more likes. You started doing that. And your outreach and your numbers started going down.
Correct. So I always knew being on Facebook was tenuous in that it was essentially an enemy weapon system. I mean, they're using it to collect data on their users. Their viewpoint wasn't the same as mine. And we were always worried that that would negatively affect us in some way, be it reach or one day you wake up and your page is gone, which a lot of people have experienced. Luckily, I haven't experienced that. But we started paying Facebook for page-like ads, ads that would increase the number of likes on your page. And my understanding was that a like meant you had a follower. So the more followers and likes I had, the more distribution network I had. So I invested nearly $300,000 into this program to build up my likes. And all of a sudden, something happened, like Carly Donatham said in 2016, I forget what it was, but at the end, November 2016, something happened. And then all of a sudden, my reach went from millions of people down, dwindling to about 10% of what it was. The month before the election, my website did about 23 million hits. Last month, we'll be lucky to do 3 or 4. You know, so they've completely, and I'm one of the lucky ones. My partner, Terry, he doesn't even have a platform anymore. So here I am crying about having 10% of my reach. And he's looking, how am I going to feed my family?
Well, and most people don't even, you know, I mean, there's so many people like your partner that have dealt with this that you're never even going to hear about. You're never even going to know their name. You're never going to know about their situation. That's the incredible thing about this. You know, obviously with us at InfoWars and the censorship that we endure with millions of audience that, you know, use those platforms to get us, it's noticeable. It becomes news stories. But there's so many individuals out there that are trying to build something or investing money in these companies to try to build something that just get the raw end of the deal and then nobody ever hears from them again. And, you know, I have been off of, I've been kicked off of YouTube and Facebook for so long. And quite frankly, I don't really like Facebook. I hadn't liked Facebook forever. So it's hard for me to get an idea of what's going on those platforms right now with the censorship. I'm basically getting intel from people like you. But, I mean, the same thing happens with Twitter. I've been stuck at the same amount of followers for about a month now. And magically, though, I get 100 new followers a day. And it tells me you get 100 new followers today. Oh, you know, 90 new followers, 300 new followers. I know I'm not that active, so I don't get that many big followers. But it's just, oh, new followers. Somehow my follower count goes down. And, you know, you're sitting here thinking the same thing. I just invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into this platform to get X result. And I'm getting Y result, which is the inverted what I expected to get. And so it's kind of this weird thing where you're just stuck almost in quicksand because you don't know what they're doing. You don't know their algorithms. You're just based with, you know, common sense was, I invested, my likes should be going up. Or, I got more followers, my follower account should be going up. But you don't know. You don't know what they're doing. You just see the end result. And so it's like, where do you turn?
Well, there was nowhere to turn, which is why we created Spreely. But you've got guys like my friend Dino invested $250,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, 15 million fans, gone overnight. You know, these people are just SOL. There's nothing they can do. And no one took on the task of creating another Facebook. There are other options for Twitter out there. There's Parler. There's Gab. There are other ones that are slipping my mind at the moment. But those are all good. Everyone should go on those and try to build those up. I tried to start a Twitter account after I experienced the downturn in Facebook. And I started posting my content. I have 9 followers after 2 months. Mm. It's just not realistic for a website that's getting 4 million hits a month to get 9 subscribers, you know, 9 followers on that platform.
Well, and you can see too with, you know, other accounts out there that just have the millions and millions of followers, and they'll put out tweets or content anywhere. Again, I'm only allowed on Twitter, so it's easier for me to just do the measurements there. There's accounts on Twitter that have millions of followers, and you're like, how do they have millions of followers? They put out a tweet, it gets 10 likes, a comment, a retweet. I have 100,000 followers. I put out something that doesn't get censored, and it gets, you know, 500,000 likes, 100, 200 retweets. So, and then you also have the notion or the instances where I'll look at accounts that have the exact same amount of followers as me, put out the exact content for the most part that I put out, except for, I guess, stuff people would consider me fringe for. They'll put out the exact same stuff. They'll get 25,000 likes and, you know, 5,000 retweets. And so it's like the same thing. So I think the issue that we're dealing with is that, you know, we still believe our eyes, right? We're not our lying eyes, right? We still believe our eyes. We see the censorship. We see the numbers. We see the manipulation. We just don't know what it is. We don't get answers on their algorithms. They lie about the censorship and they say it's not happening. Well, we see it happening. So you created Spreely. So it's supposed to, you wanted it to kind of compete with Facebook. Is that because it's mostly intended for like sharing pictures, or what did you want to do here?
All right. So what we see is the destruction of the small publisher and the voice of the small person. And the things that they need are distribution networks and the ability to monetize. And those are what have been hit by the major social media companies. And Facebook, to my knowledge, was the only platform you were able to actually build a business on for a while. And they've kind of curtailed that. I think they saw a lot of people were making money and they said, hey, this is our platform. If there's going to be money to be made, we're going to make it. And while I do think there is conservative, you know, bias in terms of the censorship, I think that's more of a function of who they're hiring rather than a program of just cracking down on conservatives. I think it's more of a big mega corporation using their power to push out all these smaller publishers that built them, that they use to gather all their data and what they know about each individual user and what ad to serve them. Now that they have that data, they don't need those people anymore. So they're pushing them out, and now they're serving ads in, you know, mid-roll video ads and other content that is going to make Facebook money, but push out all the people that helped them to get where they are.
And let's talk about this LGBT YouTube channel that's being censored too, because I have to be honest. I mean, I struggle every day with the fact I basically get raped by Twitter for my content. I don't get anything for it. But then also I'm in an info war. I want to share my stuff, but they don't even let it get seen. So it's like, do I give Twitter more? Do I get off there? It's something we're all dealing with. We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back. Final segment of the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by Infowarsstore.com. Free shipping store-wide at Infowarsstore.com. 50% off all Infowars Life supplements. That sale is happening right now at Infowarsstore.com. Be sure to take advantage. Mark Sidney from Spreely.com is in studio with me here for the final segment, and we were just discussing some things during the break. Like, for example, I hadn't heard about this. We can't reach, from The Guardian, we can't reach the women who need us. The LGBT YouTube channel suing the tech giant for discrimination. And so your point here is that, you know, we need to all remain together, those who are getting censored, no matter the politics, no matter the what, because censorship targets everyone. And once you allow anybody to get censored, it's, like you said, a slippery slope. So just talk about the significance of this story and this YouTube couple that's a lesbian couple that was popular on YouTube that got shut down, and now they're suing YouTube.
So there's a lesbian couple. The one girl, or the one woman, excuse me, was on American Idol. They're fairly famous. They have a YouTube channel, which they use to discuss issues that are important to them as gay and lesbian human beings, which they have every right to do. It's not something I would choose to tune into, but that doesn't mean that they should be censored or demonetized. There are another couple of gentlemen who run a site called G News, which just approaches issues that they see in the gay community that they want to talk about. They're not trying to sell sex to kids, something that I think would be reasonable to put some sort of restrictions on. They're just two guys talking about things from a gay perspective. And one thing that we need to do is stick together as a community of human beings and defend each other, even if we don't always see the left defending us and calling, they love to call conservative censorship a hoax. Well, what they're about to learn is that it's not just conservatives who are being censored. It's everyone who's not part of this big corporate group that's helping each other make money.
Yeah, and I think, too, there's another angle that's underlying here that we don't talk about enough because I don't think it is the biggest issue. It's just kind of the, what happens in a competitive market. You know, all the mainstream news guys that have had such a power over the news industry and such a monopoly over, you know, news, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, the alphabet news agencies, you know, when you see a group of like a lesbian couple that does news or like you said, that gay individual that does news, they don't want them competing.
Bingo.
So even it doesn't even matter about their politics at that point. They could have the exact same politics. It's that, this up-and-coming YouTube channel is now bigger than CNN, is now bigger than Chris Hayes on MSNBC or, you know, Cuck Hayes or whatever. And so they want to have the monopoly over gay news or whatever. And then this YouTube channel comes along and is better, more popular. And they're like, we have to shut that down. We own this news.
Correct. They used to be able to control the narrative through television and radio, and they no longer can. They thought the internet was going to be the way that they used as a panopticon to spy on everyone and gather their data. They didn't realize that people like myself or the ladies in that article were going to use it to speak to people and they were going to be able to actually connect with them because their message was genuine. My message is genuine in that it's not filtered through a producer versus corporate news, which is and is designed to get you all riled up. Not that my stuff's not provocative from my point of view, but they want to take back the power to control the narrative, which is what the internet and social media companies took away. They allowed it in the beginning while they're using it to harvest data on people. But once that data set was complete and the market was super saturated, they had all the data. Now they ended up with someone in the White House who they don't want in there. You know, whatever you think of Trump, I think most people watching this show like Trump. I'm more in that camp than not by far. I think that what Zuckerberg said about Facebook not having an effect on the election is just poppycock. If you were to watch the mainstream news, I think the article said 93% of the coverage of Trump was negative. So you would think, just watching mainstream news, that Trump was literally Satan and he was running against Hillary. You remember that clip?
No, exactly. That's it, exactly. Because if it wasn't for social media and some of the people on the internet saying, hey, Trump isn't this boogeyman they're making out to be, who knows if Trump even gets in? Because remember, Fox News was anti-Trump. People tend to forget. Fox News was anti-Trump during the Republican nomination process. And again, people seem to forget that right now. That's why the internet was so important. And that's why you're seeing all of this. I think a lot of it's politically motivated. I think a lot of it is they're worried about competition. And so this is just kind of where we're at right now in the battle for free speech.
No, I agree. And I think they didn't count on, it's not just publishers like myself. It's your neighbor. You go on Facebook and you think after watching TV that Trump is Satan. Then you see, well, my neighbor John likes Trump and my neighbor Jim likes Trump. Wait a minute, half the people I know like Trump. It's like when the Christians were being persecuted by the Romans, the legend goes that they would draw that little fish in the sand while they were speaking, and that was a symbol to say, hey, I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? Because if you were, you would be persecuted for it, possibly killed, right? So that's
or
what
like
Facebook
they use
was.
It to mark where their meeting spots were as
correct.
Like symbols.
So it was like some underground thing where you go on social media and you see, hey, wait a minute, what the media is telling me is not the case. And I've been close enough to enough stories that the media has covered now to know that whatever the TV is telling you, it's not true. It may be close to the truth. It may be a little bit off, but there's an agenda in there that they're trying to push. And we're open about it. Our website, we're an opinion blog. When it goes to Spreely, we let everyone who has constitutionally protected speech, barring things that are overtly sexual, because it's not an environment for that. There are plenty of websites on the web. If you're looking for sexual content, Spreely is not it. But if you have a political opinion that's protected by the First Amendment, as long as you're not calling for violence or doxing people or doing things that are not protected by law, you are more than welcome to come speak on our platform. And that goes for everyone who's watching this program who hates Owen and disagrees with Owen and is watching it, to take this clip and make a negative clip of him later. Whoever you are, you have the right to speak. Don't make negative clips about Owen.
No, it's fine. They do it on my own platforms now.
He doesn't look like Mo. Come on, guys. Don't do it. No, but
we were saying that, though. It's like, I mean, you have to choose. It's like, because you have to decide what you're going to, you know, like you said, it's a slippery slope. What are we going to allow? How do we identify a bad actor? How do we identify where we draw the line with bad actors?
And in fairness to Facebook and Twitter and the other media companies, social media companies, there are people out there who just want to watch the world burn, to quote the Joker. And they shouldn't belong on there. But there needs to be a process that's set out. It can't be one strike and you're out, or we just decide you're out. You need to be established as a bad actor. You need to have broken certain rules. And there needs to be some sort of judicial process that's independent from some monarch in Silicon Valley saying, well, I say so. So there needs to be more due process.
Well, here's the wildest thing. Again, because I'm only on Twitter. I'm banned everywhere else. For some reason, I don't know, maybe it's because people like this are sending me messages, but I don't flag anything on Twitter. I've never reported anybody except accounts that try to steal my identity and then act like they're me and send messages to people. But people that don't like me, people that try to, you know, destroy me or whatever, pornographic imagery started showing up on my tweets. I would tweet and pornographic imagery would start showing up. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, I can't do my live show on Twitter. If this show went live and I put it on my Twitter account, I'd get banned tomorrow. But if you want to put up porn, I could film myself having sex and put that on Twitter, and that would be allowed. So it's just like, what is the real agenda here?
But on Twitter, but not on Minds, right? Didn't Minds lose one of their apps? Bill Ottman's social network lost one of their apps because someone had placed some sexual content on there. But
meanwhile,
if you go on Twitter,
I'm not encouraging the crew to pull this up, but it's like, if you don't believe me at home, I mean, be careful. You're going to find it. I mean, you're going to find pornography. It's not hard.
I would not allow my child on Twitter.
But it's like, even with Snapchat now, it's like softcore porn. Like, you can go on Snapchat. I got rid of Snapchat because I was sick of it. I mean, it's like you go and they're constantly like fake butts and boobs and gay hookers and all this stuff. And it's just like, you know, good Lord.
Well, Instagram, I don't know where Facebook's going with Instagram. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are upset because I've been on there once or twice starting to try to build a platform. And by the way, everyone who doesn't know, Instagram's owned by Facebook. So if you're fleeing
Facebook, WhatsApp.
Yeah. So if you're fleeing Facebook censorship to Instagram or WhatsApp, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah. They're going to shut you down. It's just amazing that we're witnessing this, and it's just basic. I mean, again, it's not even debatable that the censorship is happening. It's not even debatable that they lied about it. They've been caught on hot mics by Project Veritas. But hey, you know what? This is where they draw the line. It's like, how do you feel about a transgender man who just gave birth who is not able to register as a father? So this is a born female, transitioned to as a man, has a baby, wants to be the father. Court says, no, you're the mother. Sorry. Can you make any sense of that for me?
I can't even follow what happened there. I mean, I feel it must be terrible to be born one sex and feel like you belong as another one. I mean,
I feel like a space alien.
Well, then maybe you'll get back on Facebook.
I feel like a space alien. And if anybody colonizes Mars, I demand part of that cut.
I think we're annexing Mars after Greenland, no?
I identify as a Martian. And so therefore, I am an indigenous person to Mars. And if you colonize my homeland, you are a bigot and a racist and against the rights of Martians. All right, Mark Sidney, thank you so much. Spreely.com, ladies and gentlemen, is his website. That does it for the War Room today. You stay classy, Info Warriors.